Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door. No insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
On. Are back with the Survivor Island of the Idols episode 3 recap. It's been a rough day to be Vaughn, that is for sure. He's a diehard Braves fan. I gotta take my shots when I can. And also loses Vince in one night. As far as I can tell, there's no Edge of Extinction this season, Vaughn. Last season, you lost two people very early on. You were able to get them back. You've lost Molly and Vince back-to-back weeks here. What is going on?
It is not looking good. You know, every Napoleon has his Waterloo. Every great fighter sometimes has to take one on the chin. So I am despondent. You know, you have a humbled Vaughn here in front of you. However, I'm not out of it. We'll get to it. I feel very good about a few of my players left. Two players early on, even with no edge, is not a death sentence now that we've very wisely increased the number of points you get for a winner. I still got a few contenders left. It's not over. All you Vaughn fans out there tuning in, Central Time Zone, it's not over. It's not over until it's over.
It's not over until it's over.
It's certainly not a 10-0 lead in the first inning. This is more like a maybe a 1-0 or a 2-0 lead in the third inning, I would say, for you guys over me in the fantasy game. So compared to what the Braves went through, I feel like I'm on my fantasy team is in decent shape.
I don't believe Alexa was at that game, but for her sake, I hope she wasn't at that game because my God, that was a nightmare. But we don't need to dwell on that, Vaughn. We can
please,
let you have
you,
that.
Thank you.
That can be something that Vaughn loses sleep over tonight, like for the next hour. What we need to dwell on is Vince didn't play his idol tonight. And
wow.
Again, we see somebody go home with an idol in their pocket. We saw it happen, what, two times last season? Was it two or was it three times? And it's experienced players. I mean, I know Vince is a fan of Survivor. Yep. He's a guy who understands the game. And they got him, and it was a Chris Noble situation. If he only had this for one vote, he's playing it tonight. But because he had it for two, he's feeling good about his situation, and he ends up going home. And I'm really surprised how it went down. I thought for sure Tom Laidlaw was going home. I'm not sure how you felt about it, but that was what I was thinking.
I totally bought the Tom edit too. I mean, part of me thought, oh, okay, like did he get a big enough edit this episode? You know, I was thinking that, but I was fooled. I was completely fooled. I mean, you had Missy and Chelsea, who seemed like the sort of strategic masterminds on that tribe, both laying out the reasons to keep Vince and to send Tom home. And then you saw the opposite happen. So I was definitely blindsided. I was also blindsided just with the fact that he didn't use the idol. So mm-hmm. I think that in this case, now with Chris Noble, obviously, it was after the merge.
Yeah.
And so he had the idol for two votes, but he knew that he was going to go to tribal that next week.
Yeah.
In this case, you actually, I think maybe this is maybe the first time in Survivor history where you had a situation where you have an idol for only 2 weeks and you're not guaranteed. So obviously, you know, James had two idols with like what, three or four votes left post merge, but he knew he would attend all those tribals. He obviously could have won immunity individually, but he knew he was going to attend all the tribals. I think this might be the first time in Survivor history. Obviously the commenters can tell me I'm wrong, that you have someone with one idol, two votes, you're not guaranteed to go to a second one. You know you're going to the first one. I think just mathematically, you play the idol no matter what.
Well, they did say, though, it's for the first two tribal councils you attend. So it So Kelly doesn't lose one here. So that's interesting.
Right.
And I understand your point because I was thinking the same thing at first, but it is the first two tribals you go to.
I caught that with Kelly. I actually didn't catch them saying that with Vince, but okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah,
well,
yeah. So maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure that that's what I ended up hearing. So when that's the case, still though,
I think you still mathematically have to play.
Yeah.
I think even if you don't hear your name at all, I think you still go for it because it's an opportunity to, you know, make a splashy move, you know, whether or not you're right or wrong, maybe save an ally. And most importantly, it gets the target off your back. Everyone knows you went to Island of the Idols. Everyone that goes there's going to be suspicion they have an idol, even if they give a brilliant, you know, Oscar-worthy performance like Kelly did last week. There's going to be that suspicion. And the best thing you can do to absolve yourself of that stench is to just play the idol at your first opportunity and then fade back into the background. So to me, I mean, I was saying, you know, out loud to my wife earlier when we were watching it, once he got the idol successfully, I was saying he has to play it this tribal. If they go to tribal, he's playing it. You have to no matter what. It doesn't matter if he never hears his name. It doesn't matter if he's like 100% confident he's on top of the tribe. I think you just play it no matter what because, you know, you only get one other opportunity down the road. It's difficult to predict, but he got votes in the first tribal council. He's got to know that he's not like completely in with everybody. I mean, I guess maybe he thought he was in with everyone. In fact, he had really no ally whatsoever in the game.
Yeah, and that's the thing. He got votes in the first tribal, and then he also knows that the men are gunning for him. So when you know that three people on your tribe are gunning for you, I would play the idol. And also, you're only getting it for two tribals. I understand that you might go on a little bit of a winning streak. Maybe you can somehow sneak this into the merge. Maybe you can sneak it into some sort of swap. But if I'm looking at this with how – I forget who had the confessional right when it was announced that Vince was going to tribal or going to Island of the Idols. Who had the confessional where they said, if Vince gets an idol, I'm in so much trouble. Was that Karishma?
Karishma, yeah.
It was Karishma. So Karishma gets that confessional, and people are already thinking, if you go to Island of the Idols, we don't know if you're going to have an idol when you come back. We don't really know because what Elizabeth told us can't be true, and also it's coming across very phony. So we don't know really what's going on, but we don't know if she has an idol, if she doesn't have an idol, whatever. Now Vince is going and he's already worried that he might be on the outs with some people on his tribe. I think that the safest way to play this is you play your idol the first time and say, when I went to Island of the Idols, I won the game and I was only able to use the idol one tribal council. It was only good for my next tribal council. So it wasn't anything that was all that great. And because of that, you go, you play it. You now no longer have a target on your back. I think most people buy that story. And you're not really losing much because you only were going to have that idol for one more tribal, which could just be next week. And as we've seen in Survivor so many times, and I think we're going to see it on this season, especially with somebody like Jamal, sometimes all you have to do is survive one tribal. And yeah, the next thing you know, you're David Wright and you're sitting in the final four.
Absolutely. I mean, absolutely. And especially in his mind, right? He's thinking, I don't know if there's a swap. Obviously, I don't know if this is going to last in the merge. I don't know if my tribe's going to win. But in his head, he's thinking, I'm good in this tribe. Right. So his decision to play, not play the idol is based on this, his misinformed belief that he was in with the majority alliance. So in that case, why not play it? Because, I mean, you know, if you go to tribal, say next week or the week after and the tribes are still the same, he's got to think that there are at least like two or three targets ahead of him based on his own read on the current dynamics of the tribe, that which seem like fairly ossified.
Yeah.
So in his mind. So it's honestly, it's baffling. I think, you know, you can't obviously say it's the most boneheaded move of all time, given, you know, the fact that this early in the game and everything. But I think it's pretty solidly in the maybe the top five just worst moves from just a pure kind of probabilistic sample.
Yeah. And I would think that the ones that compete with it are like Noble, Eric, obviously, yep. JT, right. Yep. You know, James with his two idols. Like, I think that those are the ones that always pop to mind. Yeah. This one, the one good thing for somebody like Vince is he got a lot of screen time early. So I could see him being considered, you know, in the future. But the other good thing is it's kind of going to be forgotten because it happened so early.
Yeah, totally. And
it's not going to be discussed as so boneheaded because it's not a move like when Wardog votes out Kelly Wentworth, when Kelly Wentworth still has her idol. And it ends up being boneheaded for both of them. And it's such a controversial, huge move where it's a final nine. And it's just so big because it's so late in the game. It completely shifts everything. This didn't shift anything. All this did was keep it where the women still have their alliance.
Right.
And get rid of the men whenever they want. But I think the other thing that Vince didn't realize is Tom has good relationships over there with Elaine, with Chelsea, with Missy, with Elizabeth. It seems like they all like Tom. And that's why I was getting a little bummed at Tribal. I'm not happy to see Vince go. I thought Vince was a fun character. I feel like he would have brought a lot to the game. We'll talk about his decision to go and infiltrate the camp. But what I think he didn't understand is Tom is just like in with them. And I was going to be so let down if Tom goes home this way, because as I've said so many times, I love people like Dan Barry and Gary Hogaboom. I like this like older, quieter guy. And I didn't get a reason why Tom should be going home tonight. And for him to go home tonight would have just been like, where is that coming from? They like him. He's not getting cocky. He's just playing the game. He shouldn't be angering anybody. So out of the options, I was kind of okay with it being Vince. I kind of wanted it to be Vince, but mainly just because I couldn't justify Tom going home.
Yeah, I mean, I think what's interesting about this boot and then last week's very tragic boot is that this tribe, Lyro tonight, was really, I think, playing for the swap. And I think they made the best decision if the swap is incoming, which I guess we know it's not next week. It could still be maybe the week after that. But I think they're really playing for the swap here. And what's interesting is that I think Vokai made the exact opposite decision last week. And so I'd be curious to hear your thoughts about, you know, whether one of those tribes was correct and one of those tribes was incorrect. Because I think in this case, it only makes sense to keep Tom around if you think that a swap is impending and you're trying to piss off the fewest amount of people. Because obviously, if you do send Tom home, then you've got a scenario where you're leaving Dean and Aaron in the game. They're mad. If you swap, that could definitely hurt one of the Lyra women because those guys are probably going to be looking to link up with Vokai. Now, Vokai seemed to basically face the exact same decision last week because they could have taken Nora or Jason out, left only one of those two in the game. And actually, they probably could have taken Nora out without Jason caring that much or being that mad. But instead, they chose to take out Molly. And based on what the edit was telling us, it looked like maybe Jamal and Jack would be alienated based on that. And had they swapped right after that, or had they swapped after this week, then you're leaving two people in the game instead of maybe one person in the game who could flip on you at the swap. So it seemed like the tribes kind of took two different approaches based on anticipating the swap. So I'd be curious to hear, you know, whether you agree with that assessment and whether you, which tribe you think made the right call.
I actually think both tribes made the right call, and it kills me to say that. And I know, do you want to announce what Molly was to you, Vaughn?
My hero, my soulmate, and sadly, yes, I did predict her to win Survivor 39.
Yes. Okay. But I loved Molly. I thought Molly was really good.
I mean, I think everyone saw what we saw in the preseason, right? Which is that she, I mean, not to sort of go back a week and talk about that episode, but I mean, I think just very briefly, I think you're seeing with the new casting team in place, I think you're seeing players who are really playing hard. And more importantly, you're seeing fewer easy early vote outs. And I think also because of everyone's expecting the swap, you're seeing people who don't care as much about taking out big threats early. And especially with all the new twists and the idols and the fire and everything, I think people are realizing that you got to get the big threats out whenever you got a shot, because you never know when it comes to someone like Rick Devins, for example, that it may be difficult to get him out once you want to. So, I mean, I think that it shows the game is changing. Not only Molly, the fact that Ronnie went home. I think that both of those are very atypical first and second boots. You know, maybe Mari from Millennials versus Gen X notwithstanding. But I think you've got two really unique first and second boots, and I just think it shows that the players are really gunning for people they think they can win. That can win the game on day 39, on day 3 and 5.
Yeah, and I think both tribes made the right move, and the reason why Tom going home this week would have been a bad move for everybody is Tom's a predictable player, and like you're saying here, going forward, you're voting out people who you think can actually win the game. If I'm Chelsea, if I'm Missy, if I'm Karishma, I'm not worried Tom's ever going to beat me, because he's so predictable. You know exactly what you're going to get from Tom every time. He's loyal to a fault. He's probably going to go home because he trusts his alliance too much. They blindside him. He doesn't see it coming. It very easily could have happened tonight. It didn't. But if you go into a swap, you know that Tom is going to be loyal to you.
Yeah.
Vince showed he can be a little all over the place. And we saw that when he got votes during the Ronnie boot, he was very worried about that.
He handled it very poorly. Yeah.
Very poorly.
Yeah.
And I think that if I'm Chelsea or something, you sit down and you say, okay, well, if I get rid of Tom and then I have to somehow kind of like betray Vince in the future, if I betray Vince, he might come back to Tribal and never allow me to speak to him to redeem it. And that's why I think getting rid of Vince here is the right move. They don't even realize how good of a move it was, considering he has the idol that he could have just used the next time. And had they decided they wanted to vote him out next time, it would have been a bad move. What I was more surprised at is that Karishma was kind of the other choice. I'm not really sure why the women were going for Karishma there. I guess that they all knew that the votes were going to end up going to Vince anyway, and it wasn't a big deal. But somebody had a comment here, Vaughn, and I'm not sure if you feel the same way. This is from Logmeister. I thought for sure when it was 3-1 Karishma, the Tom votes were going to come up and he'd go home. Very shocked Vince went, but happy Tom stayed. That's how I felt. I was like, okay, we got our 3 Karishma. We have our 1 Vince, and now the rest, it's just Tom. And I was really surprised it didn't happen.
Once I saw the votes coming in, I actually figured it was going to be all Vince, just the way the camera kept panning back on him. It felt a little bit too neat. The fact that everyone was talking about the merits of Tom going, it felt like that was not going to be the case. So I actually thought it was going to be Tom the whole time. But once the votes started coming in and I saw the 1 Tom vote, I thought, well, that's Vince's vote. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, if there's a 2nd Tom vote, then sure. But I think the rest are probably going to be Vince. And that's what happened. But yeah, I mean, the Karishma point is an interesting one, right? I mean, I think that probably what the women were thinking there is this is a way for us not to get any blood on our hands with Karishma, because the guys are going to vote for her. So when they come back to camp, Karishma will be further alienated from the guys, making it less likely that she flips on them, and thus insulating them a little bit from, I think, the downside of this move, right? Because Vince was pretty solidly with the majority female alliance on Lyra. So the downside of this is, obviously, I think that you're totally right. If there's a swap, I think Tom is a predictable player. He non-threatening, as they basically said in the confessionals. They like him. He's the dad or whatever. But if there's not a swap, it does add a lot of risk to their game plan. And it looks like there's not going to be a swap. Now, there has been a swap around this time in a lot of seasons, so I can't really blame them for assuming there would be. But it looks like they're wrong. And so I do think that a results-oriented perspective would probably say this is the wrong boot tonight, because now instead of entering into a scenario where you're 6-2 with only Aaron and Dean on the outside, now you're entering into a situation where maybe you're 5-3 and you've got Karishma as a wild card. Whereas if she gets word from the guys that, oh, actually the girls knew that you were going to get votes the whole time, they were plotting against you, then all of a sudden you've got a 4-4 rock draw situation. And of course, as we saw in the preview, it's further complicated by maybe this Dean-Chelsea showmance, mm-hmm. which we can talk about, but oh man, I'm very disappointed in Chelsea. Yikes. But so Dean finally got a confessional, and this is like a completely self-effacing, like, I'm an idiot confessional, which is pretty funny.
I love him.
Yeah, I know.
I'm a huge fan. He is Bradley 2.0. There is no doubt.
He's almost turning into like an Alex sort of anti-hero where everyone was kind of down on him and now everyone loves him.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I think ultimately, based on what we know that's going to happen, which is that the swap is not going to happen, this is probably the wrong move tonight. But I think based on what they knew at the time, it was the correct move. Whereas mm-hmm. I think last week, based on what they assumed at the time, which is that the swap coming, I think taking Molly out is probably the wrong move. I don't think that she was someone that was going to necessarily find a bunch of idols or win a bunch of individual immunity challenges. I think they had plenty of time to break up her, Jamal, and Jack if they wanted to. I think it was if the swap was imminent, I think it was probably a better decision to keep the sort of tribe united, get rid of Nora, which everyone, as we even saw tonight, sort of agree is kind of an outcast, and then go strong, Vokai strong into the swap, as we've seen, you know, purple tribes do in the past.
Yeah. So first thing I want to point out here is on Lyro. So you were talking about, you know, you get rid of who'd they get rid of? You get rid of Vince tonight.
Yeah.
And now you go into this 5-3 and yep. maybe you get worried that the men tell Karishma, okay,
yeah,
you know, be careful. The women all knew you're not really tight with them. But the thing is, like you said, Chelsea and Dean clearly are tighter than we're being led to believe.
Right.
Tom is way tighter with Elizabeth. He's way tighter with Elaine. There's mm-hmm. relationships between the men and women. The only woman who doesn't seem to have the relationships going on with any of the men is Karishma. So I think that the girls, if they had to leave somebody on the outs here who might try to go and work with the men, Karishma's the one to do, because Karishma's not going to be able to do that. She doesn't have an in into that men's alliance. Now, if you left Chelsea out, Chelsea can say, screw you, I'm going and working with Dean, and it would work. So that's where I think that this is the right move. You know, going back to what is going on at Vokai, clearly Jamal is pissed off, and I'm curious to see how he's going to try to get control back of the game. But Tommy trying to do damage control, Janet trying to do damage control, they're trying to work and figure out, okay, what can we do, you know, in order to keep Jamal and Jack calm. And Jack, you can keep calm, but Jamal just seems like he's going to have that personality where it's just never going to be okay. So maybe right. getting rid of Molly's not the right move, because now you have two people, and I'm not including Jason in this, just Nora and Jamal, who you kind of have to be careful around. Because if you yeah. get rid of Nora, then you still have to worry about Jamal. And if you get rid of Jamal, you still have to worry about Nora being Debbie Warner.
Yeah.
So that's the problem.
I think that's right. And it was hard to predict that Jamal would sort of go unhinged like he's gone. I mean, he seemed like a pretty rational kind of, you know, even-keeled player. But that is the risk. I mean, especially if you think a swap is coming. You know, in general, I think it probably behooves tribes to keep as many people united as possible going into the swap. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what they were trying to do tonight. I mean, we were really led to believe that Vince had, by the edit, had more connections, like, for example, with Vince and Elaine in episode one, than it really appeared that he did. I mean, I think it says a lot, the fact that he goes off to the Island of the Idols and basically all the other players immediately start scheming. I mean, Dean sort of puts his foot in his mouth about how they have to split the votes or whatever, but his comment is indicative of the tribe dynamic, which is that everyone was used to basically shit talking Vince mm-hmm. because he had not formed relationships and no one clued him in that he was a target. Looking back, it was funny that he was getting on to Karishma for not naming names the reason she wasn't throwing out names for who her target was that her target was Vince. And, you know, and so he was clearly just, you know, beyond the idol play. Like, let's take the idol part out of it altogether. He was playing really poorly in the tribe because we saw him lash out when he got only two votes at tribal. And then clearly he just wasn't forming the social, you know, social bonds necessary to propel him in the game. So even if he would have played the idol and survived tonight, he didn't realize this, but he probably was in trouble, even maybe in a post-swap scenario, because he just really was not, he wasn't good with the guys. I mean, Aaron was kind of trying to strong arm him a little bit. Aaron, it wasn't really a great look for Aaron either, but like, Aaron was trying to strong arm and say, what did they come back and offer the same thing to you, yada, yada. Vince couldn't even look Aaron in the eyes. I mean, he was just like, oh, like looking all over the place and stumbling and saying like, oh, well, I guess I'm going with you guys. Like the least convincing performance, like the opposite of Kelly's performance last week. And so he clearly they weren't buying it because they immediately threw him to the curb and started throwing his name out there immediately when he got picked for Island of the Idols. And the women viewed him as a vote, but was like, he was very clearly last on the totem pole with them. So I do think that, you know, thinking that a swap is coming, getting someone like Vince out is the least blood on their hands. They can all sing Kumbaya when they go off the tribal. The only downside is it does, if with no swap, it does leave a little bit of uncertainty. You're right that the men and women have been shown to have various sort of cross gender bonds, which could problematize, you know, this notion that the women's alliance is really going to hold tight. It could create some cracks there. But I still think that it's a pretty dangerous – when you had an opportunity to have a 6-2 with no swap, mm-hmm. you're safe. I mean, you coast for two more votes. You're basically coasting into the merge, assuming no swap, or assuming a merge where you can just kind of go with your strong alliance going into the merge. Now, 5-3, it's a lot less certain.
Now,
you have a lot more question marks, a lot more red flags for them.
Let me ask you this, though, and I have, a couple things. I love all the points that are coming up here. If you sit here, do you think that there is still a 6-2 situation, except it's not as clearly defined by gender as we're being led to believe, and the two who are on the outs are actually Karishma and Aaron? And the way that this is going right now is Tom and Dean are actually working a lot more closely with the women than we're being led to believe. And that's why Dean votes the right way episode one, despite the fact that there was no reason for him to. And that's why Tom is feeling so confident tonight at Tribal Council. So maybe there is a hierarchy here where it's 6-2. Karishma goes next week. If you have another Tribal Council before the swap, you get rid of Aaron, but you've made Aaron feel comfortable for so long. Look at where Aaron is sitting at right now. Yeah. After episode one, his closest ally goes home and he's screaming at everybody.
Yeah.
Now Vince goes home and everything went exactly how Aaron thought it was going to go.
Right.
To me, that could be the Girls Alliance, Tom and Dean, kind of pulling the wool over his eyes and saying, don't worry, be calm. One thing I'm noticing about this season that goes back to what you just said about Vince, everybody on this season thinks they are the best Survivor player out there. And I think that this might be the first.
Except for Dean, maybe.
Well, except for Dean, yeah, exactly. Because Dean's just like, whatever. Yeah. But I think that this might be the first season in a long time where that's the case. Maybe the first season ever. And what's happening is Vince thinks that Karishma is bad at Survivor. But it goes back to the whole dumb like a fox thing. Karishma is just pretending to be bad to Vince. And yes, there are certain things with her insecurities that she's definitely not faking. There's things where she feels that she's being left out. She's definitely not faking. She's not playing that up. But there are certain aspects of her not throwing out a name that she is playing up. And Vince thinks, okay, this is just because, you know, Karishma isn't good at the game. But Karishma is sitting there going, oh my God, he's falling into my hands here. So that's where I think that the caliber of play on this season so far has just been incredible. I mean, it's even with Molly, Jamal, and Jack. They all thought they were so much better at Survivor than everybody else. And you have Tommy and Janet running Malcolm Denise circles around everybody over there on that tribe. So I'm loving what we're being set up with right now, and I cannot wait to see how this is going to continue to play out.
So, yeah, I guess I'll just say first on Karishma, I think she's a lot better of a player than they think she is for sure. I sided with her on the whole cut to the hand thing. I mean, to me, Survivor is so boring. You have so few things going on as part of your day, and people don't cut their hands that often. I think Parvati may have in one of her seasons, and like everyone tended to her and was like super empathetic or sympathetic. But here, they all ignored her, which I think, number one, why. This is a pretty notable thing that's happening, even if you don't care for Karishma. You know, even if in real life you wouldn't have cared, you're on an island, you're bored, and you're playing a game that's about forging social bonds. So if the guys really were on the ropes, like, you know, they appeared to think they were on the ropes. The girls said they were on the ropes a few times. If they were really desperate for a vote at that point, you would think they would be running over to Karishma to try to curry favor with her, to try to get them get her on their side. So I sided with her. I thought that was kind of absurd and was really a bad look for the entire Lyro tribe, I thought. But then back to the other point about the
caliber of play. Yeah.
Well, the caliber of play I agree with, but going back to the first point you made about whether I think Tom and Dean maybe are fine and actually it's Aaron and Karishma on the bottom. I think I'll agree with half of that. So I think that if it's true that Dean really is making bonds and inroads with Chelsea, and if that's something going forward that could be a thing, I buy Dean as someone who could break into that larger majority alliance, because it really does appear, based on what we're being shown, that Missy and Chelsea are the ones who are really kind of calling the shots over there on Lyra. However, I think that that Tom's relationship with either Elaine or Elizabeth, based on what we're being shown, is not as strong of a relationship, because tonight it looked like Missy and Chelsea were both strongly entertaining the notion of getting Tom out. Now, Elizabeth said, oh, he's like the dad of the tribe, we can't get rid of him. But based on what we were being shown, especially in episode one, Elizabeth may not be the brightest bulb in the drawer, and I don't think is necessarily the leader of that alliance, especially given the fact that she's never really watched the show before. So I think that, like, her sympathies towards Tom, I would put significantly lower than some sort of romantic attraction that Dean would have that would be mutual with Chelsea, who I think is really kind of like the leader of the tribe strategically.
Yeah, I agree with that. I definitely agree with pretty much everything you just said. I'm curious to see how it's going to end up turning out with this Dean and Chelsea relationship moving forward.
It's good for Chelsea. It's not good for Chelsea, but it's good for Dean.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah. Agreed, all across the board. But Elaine also getting almost nothing lately since that first episode where she was huge. And I mean, you know, somebody put in here earlier, purple Elaine. Yeah. How is this happening? Who would have thought we go two episodes without a confessional from Elaine? And I'm not just confessional counting. I'm just really shocked that we haven't heard from her, because she was such a big focal point in that first episode. And now it's almost turning into a Mama C type thing where it's a great first episode. So many confessionals, so much is revolving around you, and then you vanish. But maybe that speaks for the longevity of Elaine's game, if not her influence on a lot of the votes.
Yeah, I mean, I think that from an edit perspective, I think the only thing you can really say about Elaine maybe in her favor is that they were trying to give Chelsea and Missy a bad edit tonight by suggesting that they're not getting their way. They both said that they wanted Vince to stay, and they both expressed arguments to why it would be beneficial for Tom to leave. That didn't happen. Traditionally, that's sort of bad news edit-wise. So the only thing I can think of is if those two characters they're trying to give them a bad edit and sort of poo-poo the chances that they're going to win, then perhaps by not showing Elaine basically saying the exact same thing, they could have been trying to protect her. But I think that you're overall correct that despite that sort of devil's advocate argument, that back-to-back episodes of basically nothing from her is not a good sign for her longevity, despite the fact that she was kind of an over-the-top character in episode one.
Well, and I especially believe that with Chelsea and Missy, to me, they're the only two who can win from the Orange tribe.
I don't think Orange is winning. I mean,
I don't either.
Yeah. I mean, I think that based on Karishma's comments, I mean, Karishma is not being portrayed as like a 100% complete loon like Nora. Mm-hmm. You know, when Nora had gripes against her tribe mates, we were supposed to kind of sympathize with them until it flipped. And then it was like, oh, she's like a freak, you know, freaks and geeks type situation or whatever. But I think in this case, we were actually supposed to sympathize, or at least I did, with Karishma. And I think it's just a bad look to be having episode three to have someone on your tribe being like, you guys are callous assholes. I was bleeding. You did nothing. And then when you combine that with the fact that I really thought that Missy and Chelsea had the strongest both games and like positioning and also edits. And then for them to be kind of contradicted by Vince going home, I think we're looking at a purple winner. Yeah. And I think it's, you know, I mean, I think it's either going to be someone with red head or it's going to be someone with two X chromosomes.
It's really a shame, because what's going to end up happening is Tommy's going to play and I will never have a chance to play Survivor, because he's going to be a fan favorite. He's going to play a million times, going to win this game. And it's just like, Tommy, why do you have to ruin my life, man? Like, I'm proud of you. I'm happy for you. Thanks for name dropping the Survivor Specialist. Yeah, why you got to ruin my dream? This is you. This is on you, Tommy. This is on you. He's looking phenomenal.
I mean, the only silver lining there is that he looks too phenomenal, right? I mean, that's the only thing. Only thing you can say is it's too obvious of a winner's edge. That's the only thing you can say. Because, I mean, he's been playing phenomenally. He's got his hand in every cookie jar, despite the fact that he's clearly a threat in all sorts of ways. I mean, he's just as threatening in an obvious way as Molly was, but she gets dubbed Parvati 2.0 and gets, you know, booted. Whereas he, no one's even brought up his name in any context that we've seen whatsoever. So, I mean, he's playing a strong game. He's making bonds with everyone. He's checking all the boxes you're supposed to check when you go on Survivor. He's doing it as someone who's like clearly good physically and clearly good socially and clearly good strategically. So, I mean, hats off to him, props to him. I'm glad it's someone who's a fan of the podcast. I think the only thing you can say is it's too obvious. You know, I mean, I think he's on the right tribe. He's probably not the right gender to win.
Agreed.
But I think the only thing you can say about it, the only thing you can say from it, from a either game or edit perspective, is that it's too perfectly set up.
He's almost being set up as the fan favorite who falls late.
Maybe,
you know, being set up like a Devins or something similar to that. Yeah. Because what I'm looking at tonight is we had this whole argument, intern and I, last week. We had this whole argument of who actually got the credit. And then Will and I, with in our Patreon only videos, Will and I talked about it too. Who got the credit? Was it Tommy? Was it Lauren? Mm-hmm. After watching tonight, it's a no-brainer. It's Tommy. Because Lauren had nothing. And Tommy was the one who was shown patching up the relationship with Jack, trying to patch up the relationship with Jamal, going over to Janet, talking to Janet. Who should we vote out? What are you thinking? Is there any possibility that we can actually make this work? Should we be getting rid of Nora? Should we just get rid of Jamal? Is there somebody else that we should be thinking? I love that. I mean, they're talking about Dan possibly going home, but it's Janet and it's Tommy. And who would have thought going into the season that that would be our alliance? But that just shows how much of a fan of this podcast Tommy is, because that's exactly how I've always said that I would do it. I would want the older mom figure. That's what I would want to play with, because it's so unexpected. And because it's such an odd couple, there's this weird thing where when you have like the 20-something-year-old guy and then the 50-something-year-old woman, there's like a mutual respect there because there is that type of relationship. And I know Sunday wasn't quite that old, but her and Adam had like a similar relationship. Her and Will Wall had a similar relationship where, you know, her and Will definitely worked together more than her and Adam, but you could make that happen because that's just who you are and you're not having to pretend anything. And for some reason, that's just a bond that is very natural. And I see Tommy making that work and I see Janet working that to her advantage. You gave me a lot of crap for picking a lot of old people when we did the fantasy game.
Yeah.
How good is Janet looking right now though?
And I'll say I haven't really adjusted my priors on most of the old people. I think Dan has been embarrassed. I mean, not embarrassing. He's been disappointing. I think he's probably going to be go pretty soon. I'm not as high on Tom's positioning as you are at this point in the game. I still think he could be pre-merge. Janet certainly looks the best. I mean, after episode one, I was thinking, oh, man, Janet's going deep here. But the fact that we didn't hear from her very much last week when they went to tribal, she made like the one kind of comment. I'm not sure she got a confessional. I thought that was, you know, it basically showed that based on what we were seeing that she wasn't actively involved or super actively involved in the vote, because we didn't hear her perspective. So I thought that sort of hurt her, and then combined with tonight that we didn't really get any sort of like sense of what she's thinking. We don't know that much about her as a person. She had the amazing moment in episode one, but I kind of think that that's a self-contained story. It was nice, but we've seen other people in seasons past have those nice kind of like older person moments in episode one, and they don't do very well. So I'm going to keep my stake in the ground on this one. After being wrong about the Atlanta Braves and about Molly and about Vince, I'm going to keep my flag planted here and say that none of the old three older people, I'll say none of them make the final 10.
Really? See, I think that's a really bold statement. I think that we're getting two of them in the final 10. I don't think Tom's going to make it. I think Janet and Dan are both going to make it. And here's why. Got to give the challenge department a lot of credit for tonight's challenge. Absolutely incredible challenge.
Great challenge.
Did you notice though, what we saw the entire time that Elizabeth and Janet swam against each other. And we as an audience know that Elizabeth is an Olympic swimmer. Now, Vokai doesn't know that, but Lyro does. But us as an audience know that Janet only losing to get to the buoy by as much as she did is incredibly impressive. And we saw the entire swim, which we normally don't see. On top of that, what we'll see a lot of times when somebody sucks as bad as Janet did while she was trying to untie the knot, we will see a lot of the tribe going, oh my God, oh my God. I mean, Lauren, there's a million Lauren gifts from last season, but we have so many of Lauren just like throwing. If she had stuff in her hand, she would have thrown it in the air and she would have screamed at somebody.
Yeah,
we didn't get that. All we got was what happened. It was a very quick what happened. And then as soon as she got it, everybody cheered and went crazy for her.
And Jeff said something about how you have to, you know, always, you know, yeah, no, I agree. Certainly with the second point. I mean, I personally thought that she was very impressive swimming. I mean, considering like, yeah, okay, she swims as part of a profession, but there's a difference in being a, you know, older lifeguard, even if she supervises other lifeguard. I mean, it's not like you're really having to swim a whole lot if you're a lifeguard, even if you're training people, versus a in her prime Olympian.
Yeah.
Should be a mismatch. And she made it reasonably close. But I think your second point is right on the money, which is that I agree that they made her look really great in that edit. But I still think it's more of a feel-good story. We don't know much about her as a person. We don't know much about how she's thinking strategically in the game. So I still think, you know, maybe she sneaks in there at the merge or something, but I'm not as high on her as I was in episode one. So if you're going to say two of the three make it, I guess I'll make my official prediction that, you know, one of the three make it.
Okay.
But personally, I would not be surprised to see none of the three make the final 10.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, I hear what you're saying. I completely understand.
But I think your read on Tommy is 100% right. I mean, I think that to go back to the Lauren and Tommy thing, basically, I think that Lauren got credit for orchestrating the vote. So in terms of who got credit for the move, Lauren did. However, more importantly, I think what the editors wanted us to say is that maybe the move was not a 100% great one, right? Mm. And that actually the smart move in this scenario is not to rashly throw names out of someone, but instead to sit back and be like, okay, I've got two options here. I need to weigh it and then I'll make a decision. Tommy got that confessional, which to me is a much more powerful perspective. The editors were banging us over the head with the fact that this is the right perspective to take. Whereas even though Lauren is the one who kind of came up with the idea and we were told that, I think it was portrayed as more like, is that good to just sort of like change the plan on a dime without much forethought? That was what I got from it.
Yeah, I it could go either way. It really could. And I guess we'll have to see what happens next week. I still think Kelly Kim is somebody who could definitely win this season, and she didn't get anything tonight, but she had a great episode last week. So I think that
I think that's who's winning. I think Kelly Kim. Winning. Yeah. I think Kelly's winning. Yeah.
I mean, I could see that.
I mean, she obviously, you know, changing my winner pick, who was voted out after 3 weeks or whatever. So not necessarily the most graceful maneuver on my part, but yeah, I'm sure this means that you'll probably be pre-merged now that I apparently am having trouble predicting the season after being so pristine on every other one. But I think Kelly, she had a really great episode last week, I thought. And I thought this tonight was a good cool down episode for her edit wise. But I also just like her position in the game. It seems like she's making the right connections with everyone. She was also kind of in the middle along with Tommy in the vote last week. So I like where she's at, even though obviously, you know, what Island of the Idols essentially means apparently is that the tribe who doesn't go to tribal gets not much of an edit.
Yeah, absolutely. And my whole thinking with everything we've seen thus far, I think you're going to have Kelly. I think you're going to have Tommy. I think you're going to have Janet. I think you're going to have Missy or Chelsea, one or the other. Those are going to be four of your people who are in the finale this season. That's where my mindset is, because I think Tommy could very well be the person who just goes like right before like final four. He could be our fire making loser or something. Janet could be our fifth place, like kind of like Brett LaBelle. Great character. We all love watching them play, but
yeah,
did they ever have the legs to win it? And then I feel like Chelsea or Missy were going to get late. Everybody else, I'm having a tough time figuring it out, but I really like what we've seen from Kelly so far, even though we didn't get much of her tonight. This is such a great cast. And I feel like I say that a lot, but this season, like, I don't mind when we don't see a certain character, and I always compare stuff to Game of Thrones because I just can't help it. But this cast has that feel where if we don't get an episode with Littlefinger, it's okay because that means we're just getting a lot more of the Lannisters. And if we don't get something with the Lannisters, it just means we're getting a lot more of the Starks. And there's so much to jump around to that you have to figure 10 minutes of every episode is based around whoever goes to Island of the Idols. If we're not doing Island of the Idols, we're going to be getting a lot more from these characters. And yet I still feel like, name one character that you don't know on this season other than Dean.
Yep, it's fair.
It's yep. very well edited right now, and I'm really impressed with how they're handling this. Because in past seasons, we've seen how Edge of Extinction can take away from the game. We've seen how Ghost Island even took away from the game. This season, I feel like because the cast is so good, you can't ignore anybody. And despite you trying to ignore anybody, we get this one little confession from Dean. We get Dean actually giving the voting card. We have these little things from Dean. And it's great. I mean, it's small stuff, but we're enjoying it. And there's not one person on this cast where I go, eh, they're expendable. And that's really tough to say for Survivor.
I agree. I mean, I was worried about Island of the Idols in a lot of ways. I thought it seemed really hokey. But I would say I'm cautiously supportive of the concept right now. I think Boston, Rob, and Sandra have proved just as fun as we hoped that they would be. I think that the sort of the tests that they give them are a little hit or miss. Like, for example, I don't think that stealing the other tribe's fire or crawling on the ground is really like an essential vital skill to winning Survivor in the same way that maybe making fire or listening to other people talk is. So that was a little bit of a bust, I would say. But overall, you know, I think they've been fun. And I think that, you know, there are two things I like about it. One, I like the potential of going forward, not having to spend as much time there because the concept is already fleshed out. Everyone will know the theme by then. No one's going to be shocked. Maybe we don't have to have these montages of like Vince rolling in the sand to learn how to crawl. We can cut it out a little bit more going forward so we get a little bit more time with the tribes. So I'm optimistic that it'll trend in the right direction there. Yeah. And then second, this goes back to kind of something I often talk about, is this is such a sort of female empowerment season. And I think part of that is that we've already seen two women find idols. And yeah. they both still have them, and they're both still active in the game. And so they're the only idols that are active in the game. And I think that even though the randomized aspect of Island of the Idols, where you're drawing name out of the hat, it's gotten some criticism in some circles, because I do think that from a game mechanic perspective, there are more interesting ways that you could select who goes, either have the tribes pick it or whatever. I do think the randomized part of it means that, especially because it seems like the idols are going to be given out a little bit like candy, as long as you don't try to, you know, fight Boston Rob in a fire making challenge. I think that it provides a more even playing field for women. You know, since Absolutely. The Hidden Immunity idol was created in Survivor, men have found 80% of them. And so that obviously helps their winner chances along a lot. But when you have this randomized aspect, you're really going to expect that to be much closer to 50-50 this season. Even though idols are still in play at camp, you would just expect, because of the Island of the Idols mechanism being random, I think that it gives a significant boost to the women, who all have been edited pretty well so far.
Yeah, I agree with that. I'm curious to see how I'm going to feel about Island of the Idols being handed out once one's actually played correctly. And when it's played, not even correctly, but just when it's played because it has to be played. So we haven't seen that actually happen yet. We've only seen, you know, Kelly go to tribal once. We just saw Vince get voted out. So far, I'm not minding that they're being handed idols, because the idols have limited power. And I like when the idols have limited power. Like, Chelsea deserves to have an idol with full power because she found it at her tribe's beach. I love that. But I like that these other ones are being limited in their abilities, because the Vince one tonight was ridiculous. I don't understand what that was. It was fun to watch. It's, you know, it's goofy. It's whatever. Vince is the perfect person to be doing that, because he is like this louder than life or larger than life personality. He'll go and do it. He'll figure it out. I like that he figured out how to get the ashes instead of doing the fire because it was raining. I liked all of that. I want to know who was having that nightmare, because that was absolutely terrifying. I was scared for you. I would have hit you because I would have been so scared.
Yeah.
But like what I'm looking at with that is like, what was the point of that? And it took up a lot of time. And I'm just hoping, like you said, that it starts to get shorter yeah. and shorter and shorter, because everybody who goes there is going to have a chance to end up winning an idol. That's going to happen every single time you go there. We could have 20 idols in play at some point. But Vince is gone. Elizabeth didn't get an idol. So really the only one who's been successful with this is Kelly Kim. She's the only one. Now, what do you think, Vaughn? Because this is something that needs to be addressed every week. If the person does not try to negotiate, what would have been Boston Rob's negotiation?
I think it probably would have just been a longer duration of the idol. You know, we saw that last week. I don't think that there's any way to pare down the scale of the challenge itself, of the test of itself. You know, it's not like they're going to be like, okay, go. And then you can just tap your, you know, torch on the fire and then leave. You don't actually have to capture it and bring it back. I mean, they weren't going to say something like that. So I think had there been a negotiation, which it was notable, it was never mentioned. I mean, it's interesting, actually. I think it's probably because Vince went home that we were not shown any sort of negotiation talk. And we also were not shown the big reveal moment that was left out of the episode of him coming back to the tribe. And that almost makes me feel like maybe it would have been a little bit of a giveaway because maybe he handled it poorly. He didn't realize he handled it poorly, but maybe the viewer would have realized he handled it poorly or lied badly or whatever. By the way, I'm definitely in the camp of people that think that Boston, Rob, and Sandra are telling them to lie. And telling them the lie to tell, because that's just best from a production standpoint. You know, I mean, someone made the comment that like they're not really coaches or mentors so much as they're just producers. They obviously are just trying to push the show in the most exciting aspect possible. And it's much more exciting to have everyone lie and to have this like delayed gratification moment about when everyone figures it out rather than like the entire theme of the season being spoiled, you know, 6 days in or whatever for both mm-hmm. tribes. So I think that everyone's being told to lie, but I wouldn't be surprised if maybe Vince lied so poorly that it would have been more obvious that he was going home, which is why we were not shown that. But yeah, I mean, from the negotiation standpoint, I think that, you know, had he said, oh, I'm not sure, oh, I don't know what else you got, which is weird. I think that it's like weird to expect them to negotiate in this situation. But yeah. If he would have done
that.
Not even
negotiate, just say, no, I'm not going to do this. Because I would have never done that one. Because if you get caught by the other tribe, you're screwed the rest of the game. Because now the other tribe is going to be like, that was the guy who snuck into our camp. Did you ever tell your tribe about that? Like, that's, I would never do this one. It's too risky. And I don't think the reward is enough. As we saw tonight, it wasn't enough.
But do you think the other tribe, if they did catch you, do you think they would just like catch that someone was there? Or do you think they'd actually be able to like ID who it was in the dark?
Well, I mean, what if somebody gets up and walks over and is like, who are you? What do you do? I mean, look, this pretty much just proved that if you're a Survivor player, you can be easily murdered in the middle of the night. Okay. That's what I learned tonight is every one of them slept through a man who was no more than 15 feet away from them and had to have been making some noise. We saw him slip and fall. We heard him mumbling.
He took a lot of ash too. I was like, dude, just take one handful. That's clearly going to be enough for them.
Yeah, he was scraping it. And it was loud. And I know obviously we're hearing the mic'd up version where they're raising up the volume. I understand how that works. But to me, it was just like, man, if I'm on that tribe, I'm now terrified. You're watching that back now. And let's say you didn't even know Vince ever went to your tribe. If you're the winner of this season and you're from Purple and you didn't know Vince ever did this because you never met Vince, you're sitting there going, holy crap, I was having a terrifying nightmare. And my terrifying nightmare was that there was a man in our camp and he was there.
Yeah.
Who had that nightmare? Do you know?
It looked like it might have been Kelly, but I'm not sure. That was my guess. But it's, I think, either Kelly or Janet, but I don't know.
It was really scary because, like, and I had a friend who, like, he had epilepsy, and it kind of sounded like somebody was like having a seizure or was like about to have a seizure. And like was, and I was like, what is going on? Like, is Vince about to infiltrate the camp on the night that something insane happens also at that beach? And then it's like medical's coming in and Vince is just like, what do I do? It was a very weird moment. And obviously it was probably edited. I doubt Vince was walking in as somebody was waking up, even Jack looking over. I doubt he was looking over like right at that time.
Right.
But it was just, it was creepy. It scared me. I was really worried for that.
I mean, that stuff probably happens more often than we're shown though, right? I mean, like people are not sleeping very well. They're in a strange environment. I bet like those sorts of like weird nightmares and like, you know, sleepwalking and stuff like that. You'd think it would happen more in a weird environment like that, but I'm no expert.
Imagine getting sleep paralysis out there on the island. That probably happens all the time because sleep paralysis mainly happens when you're laying on your back and like you're always in that in between being awake, being asleep thing. And then you have sleep paralysis and you're like, and I'm in the jungle. Like, yeah. What is going on? That's yeah. terrifying. I don't like that.
Yeah, I think I probably would have done it just because I don't think we've ever been seen. I mean, the commenters, I'm sure, will light me up here, but I don't think we've ever seen someone like get caught doing these things. Like, we've had like try to get idols at challenges. We've had try to get idols at camps. No one's ever been caught. So that suggests to me that it's actually easier than it looks. So I think my rationale would probably be the odds are not good that I'm going to be the first one. You know, maybe if I was playing Survivor when I was like 55 and I wasn't quite as nimble, not that I'm like the most athletic person of all time now, but like maybe, you know, if like circumstances were different and I didn't think that I was going to be quick enough on my feet or something like that, maybe I would opt out. But I think right now, if I played Survivor tomorrow, I think you just have to accept it. I wouldn't have known to negotiate. I think that if Vince had declined it, my guess, just to answer your question, is that I think Boston Rob probably would have said, okay, it's going to be good for three travels.
Yeah, and I wonder if it would have been like steal water from them or steal something that maybe like you get something from the water well, because if you did notice, the map did have the water well on it. It did have where the shelter was. Mm-hmm. Maybe it would have been you can steal something that's a little bit further away. Also, what I'm assuming is in this situation, and I know that this is the case at camps, the idol find, when Kelly had the idol find and when Troyzan had his idol find, there's no extra cameras that are on the move that are giving away that that's going on. All the cameras are already preset up. And yes, there's like the under the table camera, but nobody knows that's there.
Right.
And I'm assuming that in this night challenge, when Vince is going in, it's still your skeleton crew that's probably out there for Survivor
you got
night.
Otherwise, it's
so
not
it's
fair,
not.
Yeah.
So if you're sleeping, you're not thinking anything of it. And if you hear somebody walking around, you might just be. We did see four people are sleeping off to the side. Five people are sleeping on the you know, the actual shelter. You might sit there and say, oh, that must just be somebody else getting up if you hear something, because there's probably only one or two cameras out there and they're not giving away that something big is going on.
I bet there are like noises like that all the time.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like from the wind from the animals, the wind, I mean, it was in the rain too. I mean, the rain is going to camouflage you walking around as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's talk about, we're almost up to an hour here. Okay. So let's talk about MVP, Vaughn. And now you're struggling. I'm looking at your tribe and I don't see somebody who can be MVP of this week. Now, maybe you want to try to spin that, or maybe you'll very humbly accept. When I look at who you have left, I see people who can win the game. I don't see an MVP for this week, though.
I think that's correct. I think that's sad but true. I think it's just an icing on the cake of a rough day for me that I don't even have someone I can pitch.
Yeah. You did pick Janet for Eliminator, so at least there was that going on. Alexa's team, to me, I'm trying to think who would be my MVP for this week. And Alexa has Elizabeth, Chelsea, Jamal, Jason, Dean. I have Tommy, Janet, Dan, Tom, Karishma, Nora. Now, we already said that your tribe doesn't sound like they have anybody who would be MVP, but then I just listed off all those people, and they don't sound like they should be MVP either. And then Carl has Missy and Aaron. And I don't hear an MVP. There's no MVP of this week.
Well, I think it's a potential bad move. I mean, what's tricky is that like the best points were made by Missy and Chelsea, but it was about Tom going home. Like they were the most strategic. We got an Elizabeth confessional supporting Tom, but it was shown as not being strategic. It was like, he's the dad. Like we love him, which usually when we see that kind of confessional, they're trying to bury Elizabeth. So you think like, okay, I don't know. I mean, if it's, it probably needs to be someone on Lyro.
I mean, it could be Tommy for at least trying to patch up relationships. That's like the only person who did something that was like obviously the right move this week. Him going to Jamal and Jack is obviously the right move. I didn't see an obvious right move from anybody on Lyro.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think that maybe, you know, as weird as it is, I think maybe you've got to give, I think maybe you got to give the MVP to Karishma. I mean, Tommy will get plenty more MVPs. He will, I'm sure, have many more good weeks. I want to give it to someone on Lyro because we saw by far the most of them. It doesn't really matter. I'm not picking anyone on my team. I think that Aaron, Tom, and Dean were basically just like playing desperately. They probably were not sure exactly how the vote would turn out. The girls probably were weighing back and forth between Vince and Tom. So you have to give it to one of the girls. Elizabeth seemed like she wasn't being strategic. Missy and Chelsea, they didn't get their way, as at least based on what we were seeing. And then Elaine, as you pointed out, was completely invisible. So I think that basically leaves Karishma, who I think was in a really vulnerable position. I think that clearly she was like on the outs to a certain extent, but I think she made some decent points at, yeah, Yeah, good point. Yeah, terrible. I mean, what's interesting, actually, and maybe going back to the gender issue, is that Karishma got all the blame for the puzzle when she and Dean were doing it together. Like, no one mentioned, like, at least that we saw, that, like, oh, Dean apparently sucks at puzzles. It was all Karishma. She wasn't the only person doing the puzzle.
So anybody who's only listening on iTunes, what just interrupted Vaughn's speech is Corwin Green said, I assume we're ignoring Karishma's puzzle prowess for this MVP. How funny was it when Dean was like, yeah, she was bad at that puzzle. And like,
well, yeah, like, right. Like,
what, me? It was all her.
I mean, good move by Dean, I guess.
They that is twice now that tribe has been absolutely horrific at puzzles.
I think I listened to a little bit of the podcast you had with Carl. Yeah. He was saying they were going to win the challenge because they were good at puzzles. I was like, Carl, that take is so hot that you're going to get burnt by it.
Yeah.
Because
and he just did.
He did. I mean, they have shown no puzzle ability whatsoever as a unit. And Vince probably is someone on their tribe that has the most potential at puzzles, actually. But in theory, at least. But yeah, I think Karishma, you know, she was on the outs. She was clearly mad at everyone, but she managed to sort of swallow her pride, take one on the chin, get back in with the women and make sure that the whole girl power thing was emphasized enough. She ultimately only survived because Vince stupidly didn't play an idol. But at the same time, I mean, the fact that the women didn't seem like they really necessarily wanted her to go that much is, I think, a point in her favor on a week where we're not really any MVPs.
Yeah, this will be an interesting one. If you want to vote for MVP, put it in the YouTube comments here. This is going to be completely based on vote. I mean, I don't have anybody that I think is a clear-cut MVP. I thought Elaine was clear-cut week one. Last week, Chelsea ended up being MVP. I thought that was clear-cut, although Carl gave me a lot of shit for that, Vaughn. How do you feel about me getting so much crap for that? Or am I like you are the original person to call me out and say, yeah, well, if the girl is hot and in her low 20s, low to mid-20s, you're going to pick them as a winner.
You have favorites. I mean, I think Carl is right on the money here.
You think he's – see, this is crazy. I need Alexa back so bad because, like, Alexa has been keeping up with this season, and she's like, why is everybody giving you crap for the Chelsea thing? This is not Vic levels. Like, everybody calm down. And I agree with myself and with Alexa.
So you're working your way up. It's not quite the Vic levels yet. I mean, so Chelsea has – I will say has looked really good. So it's not unfounded – that she's looked good. And it's not unfounded that you've been like ranking her number one in the power rankings. She has looked good until this week. I mean, I think that it was weird that it seemed like she was really leaning towards sending Tom home and then it reversed. That sort of like gives me a weird vibe. And then now the whole showman's thing, she's trending downward. I think that to restore your credibility or to secure your credibility, you've got to rank her a little lower for this next week. But
she still has an idol.
I know, but her stock overall, even
she's
if
dropping,
she's dropping. For the
and
first she, time.
I mean, and she's about to get into a showmance with Dean, which is an automatic like red
not a
flag.
Not a good look at all. But I mean, I think that your love for Chelsea has some merit, but I do think that Carl's meta or sort of macro point, which is that you pick your favorites, they're almost always on your fantasy team, and you ride them every week. I think that's correct. You've got.
I have Tommy and like Janet.
Janet can do no wrong. Tom can do no wrong. And it just so happens that sometimes your favorites happen to be young women. Though this time, you know, at least the young, attractive female is also like a super fan who's playing well.
And who's doing really well. And also on Alexa's team. So it's not even like I'm picking somebody.
Right, it's true. It's true. You know, it's true.
I'm sitting here and I think Tommy, Janet, I'm convincing you that Janet, Dan, and Tom are all making it, you know, really far in this
game. Let me throw two more names out there just so I can look back and maybe hopefully get something right because I'm just going to throw more darts at the wall.
Yeah, sure.
Two more names that you did not mention that I think not necessarily that they can win, though it's possible that would go deep. One's on my team, one's not, is Jack and Jason. So
I think Jason is getting a really good underdog edit here. He's you know what? Throw him into my finale. Jason will be in the finale and he'll be one of the early boots from the finale. But yes, I do agree. Jason is definitely somebody. We didn't talk much about him tonight, but he had that confession like, I'm still here.
Yeah,
I think he's really redeemed himself with that tribe. And nobody's saying we got to get rid of Jason. It's next week if Vokai lose. It's an obvious Nora or Jamal. And Jack did a really good job rebounding tonight because he was humble. And he sat there and he said, you know, you got me.
Yeah.
But that's okay.
He's looked good. He's looked good. I mean, he was protected last week, too. I mean, the edit did everything they could do to throw Jamal squarely under the bus. But Jack was very protected. The only thing we really saw from him was like Tommy was like, oh, I feel bad about betraying Jack because I have a good relationship with him.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, I'm not saying that Jack is going to be the winner. I think his edit is still a little quiet for that. And maybe his positioning also is on a game level is not as strong as some of the other contenders based on what we've seen. I mean, obviously one of his biggest allies was blindsided in week two. But I do think that he and Jason both have legs.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that that's a really good point. Jason also loves Secession. So if anybody loves Secession, you deserve to make it far in Survivor because Secession is the most incredible show on TV.
I haven't finished the second season, actually, but at least I do watch that show. Unlike I do not watch Game of Thrones. So I just sort of like nodded silently with your whole analysis.
That's
of Starks, the Starks and everything earlier. Secession, I agree.
The session is incredible.
Jason's cool. I really like Jason. I think he actually, the edit was trying to make it seem like last week that he and Nora were sort of on equal footing. But based on Molly's eggs interview, she actually said, no. Jason, after that first day of when he got caught, you know, looking for an idol, really completely went back, you know, and had one-on-one conversations with everyone, apologized, was really humble, got right back in with the tribe. And so Molly was like, I wasn't BSing at Tribal when I was saying that we really considered him part of the group. So I really think that they're playing up the fact that he's an underdog and he's an outsider, but I actually think he's playing well.
I absolutely agree with you. Did you get to the Boar on the Floor episode of Secession yet?
Of this season?
It's early in season. You would remember it if you heard it.
Okay.
Because I've been
episode two or three, I would say.
Okay. Because I'm doing like, you know, Alexa's doing her MLB thing right now. Intern's got the night off. He's been filling in pretty well. You're doing great tonight. I'm going to end up having to just do Boar on the Floor to decide who my new podcast partner is going to be, you know, if Alexa doing all this MLB stuff, it's like, you know what, Alexa, like you're going to have to win at Boar on the Floor with Vaughn and Intern. And it's really funny because I just tweeted the Boar on the Floor thing. And Jason was just like, it's fun. Wait until you watch that episode, Vaughn. You're going to be you're going to come back and watch this and say, we are not playing Boar on the Floor, Phil. It's unbelievable. If you don't watch Secession, that's the only thing I can tell you. Accidentally, just type in SU and Survivor will come up first, and then Secession will come up next. Click Secession. It's unbelievable. It's so entertaining. You have my recommendation.
I'll have to binge the rest of the season tonight.
Well, there's still three episodes left. So.
Okay. Well, so as we wind down, I'm just like, kind of like looking over my notes here. I'm a dutiful, you know, student. I always prepare, so I'm making sure that I've covered everything. So I thought it was interesting that. First of all, I didn't really understand what Tom was getting at. This is another reason I thought he was going home when he was saying that Karishma was putting on an act and that like he wasn't buying it when he got up. Like, did you get his point there?
I think that honestly, I did. Kind of get his point there because what he's trying to say is like, we already know in his mind, he knows that Karishma is getting three votes and Vince is going home. So by Karishma getting up, it's making it like dramatic to the point where something could go wrong. And I think that's Tom's way of showing the rest of his alliance. Like, I'm still doing everything exactly the same. I don't know why she's doing this. And really, Karishma should not have gotten up tonight because unlike in past situations where maybe you've needed it, she did not need to get up tonight. She didn't need to. And I think that's why Tom kind of called her out.
Well, I mean, I think maybe she was – I don't know what she was playing. I mean, maybe we'll learn more. Vince may be able to shed some light in his exit interview. I mean, I think she was worried about a scenario where Vince had been tipped off that the votes were going his way and he was going to play the idol. And she was maybe trying to ask the girls, like, are the guys voting for me or what's going on here? Because they probably were leaving her in the dark about that. I think they knew that the guys were throwing votes on Karishma, but Karishma probably did not know that she was the backup. Because had she known for a fact, I think she would have been freaking out way more. She said before Vince went to Island of the Idols that if he comes back with an idol, I'm screwed. Mm-hmm. But then she didn't seem like she was freaking out. So I think maybe she thought that she had secured her position and wasn't necessarily going to get many votes. I don't know. I don't know what caused her to get up. I just didn't understand Tom's point about how like maybe suggesting that like Karishma was like acting or something.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure really what he was. I think he was just trying to say like, just sit down. There's no reason for this. Yeah. Like, I think that's all he was trying to say. Just keep everybody calm and like not tip off a hand to Vince that like if you do have an idol, like you're about to get a bunch of votes. Like, you don't want to tip that off. So that's just what I'm thinking.
And I think that the only other thing that we sort of missed just right off the top is that, you know, terrible gameplay by Jamal at the beginning. I mean, we Absolutely. Sort of touched on it a little bit, but just like when the target is shifting elsewhere and you're on the bottom in that sort of situation, just let it shift, fade into the background. But he starts immediately throwing names out and talks about how he wants to take agency. And I understand that, but, you know, there's plenty of Survivor left to take agency and take control and have some votes that are yours and yours alone. But to come back guns blazing like that, number one, is just really dumb. But number two, maybe shows how well the majority of Purple was at making him feel like he was being brought back in the fold, because he felt so comfortable there that within 12 hours of Molly going home, he's throwing, you know, Dan's name out there. And I think that part of that is that everyone made him feel like, okay, maybe he wasn't the next to go. But either way, it's just a really bad look for Jamal, who's had a really terrible couple episodes here.
Yeah, Corwin Green's rebuttal to that is he was in first gear, he had to go to fourth gear, like Lauren was saying at the tribal, which is kind of true. And I think that Dan is a safe person to throw out if you're trying to throw a name out there. I think Dan is a safe one because it's Dan. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, but nobody's but there's no really. There's no need. Yeah. I mean, like, they hadn't even lost, you know, the challenge. True. So, like,
oh, yeah, it was
no need to be throwing names at all. Yeah, there's no need to be throwing names at all. Like, you know, if it's shifting to anyone, if it's going to be Nora or whatever, just like let that happen. And then, like, even he had a conversation with, I guess, like maybe it was Janet when he was like, oh, if it's going to be Nora, well, I'll believe it when I see it. When it's like, dude, have you never seen Survivor? And clearly he has. Like, you're supposed to just say like, oh, amazing. That sounds great. I'm just so thankful. And, you know, oh, I'm just so relieved. Don't say what you're thinking, which is like, well, F you guys.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. I mean, and that's exactly what bit Vince in the ass after after week one, because he did say F you guys. I don't know, Vaughn. I think that we just broke down that episode about as damn well as we can. I really do.
I agree. I agree. Where
is it? This is the one.
We're the Tommy of podcasting.
We are. We did everything we could. We got Brandon Fechter here. Phil and intern have a Tom and Greg dynamic. That's a Secession reference. Okay. Yeah, I think that's right.
I get that. I get that reference.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
As long as he's not thinking I'm intern again.
No.
Okay.
Somebody
did Tom and Greg.
Somebody did post in here earlier that this intern has hot takes. So I like that you are now being referred to as this intern.
Quite a downgrade. I mean, really, I what's the opposite of the intern? I'm like basically like the CEO or like the funder, right? Like
the funder,
the venture, the venture capital fund.
Yeah, Vaughn's the money. I'm the CEO. Alex is like CFO, and then
intern is like intern. Grunt. He's like the mailroom guy.
intern gets the sodas for us. There was the thing on Reddit last week where it was like, does anybody else think it's like demoralizing that Phil calls intern instead of by his name? And I was like, I mean, I don't know, but obviously I call intern that in all good fun, and intern calls himself it now. I mean, I love intern.
I'm an intern stan. Don't get
there
me
you go.
Yeah.
I think most people are. Everybody just think that like they want to stand anybody against me. So it's
I'll never be on a podcast with him, you know? So I'll never have him disagree with any of my takes in all likelihood.
Yeah.
So I have no choice but to stand.
That's it. And I mean, intern's going to be back on Sunday, this Sunday coming up with Bradley, and intern has been practicing something for Bradley. So anybody who wants to get excited for that, come on in, jump on, and Bradley and intern, it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. That's all I'm going to say. I've seen the two of them actually speak to each other sometimes. So it's going to be great. Alexa's still not back. All these series decided they were going to go to 5 games. That doesn't help anybody. Thanks a lot, teams. And thanks a lot for making game 5 worthwhile, Atlanta Braves.
Yeah, trust me. I wish Atlanta would have closed it out in game 4. They had the opportunity. Don't remind me. Well, I hope you guys tell Bradley, not to hype any other podcasts, thought he did very well on Rahap.
He did do very well there.
I listened to the whole thing and I really, really enjoyed it. So you get, he obviously doesn't know who the hell I am. I am a former Bradley stan, if you remember. I believe he was my winner pick one season.
You put on the glasses.
I put on the glasses for him. I thought he did me proud in the podcast.
Yes. And Bradley
will
do
very well on Sunday.
Bradley will be great fun. And as I told Carl, and I'm going to tell everybody right now, Chelsea's going to be my number one because Bradley is going to hate that I'm going to do that. So he's going to troll it really hard. So Chelsea will be my number one this week just to get a rise out of Bradley. And if there's no rise from Bradley, then okay, I'll go ahead and I'll change it to somebody else. But Bradley will be a lot of fun. See, the thing is with Bradley, he might not be that guy who made it super far, but Bradley knows the game better than a lot of people. He's very knowledgeable at it, and he just loves talking about it. So Bradley, Phil, and intern all in one room. Gosh, I don't think Alexa's too disappointed she's missing this one. Let's just say that. But
it's
anyway,
it's going to be good. I'm going to tune in. It's going to be good.
Yeah, and I'm glad that we got you back on. I had to convince intern to take the night off. He fought, he kicked, he screamed. I said, "Guy, we need Vaughn at least back for one of these episodes."
Especially after Molly goes home. I appreciate that.
Yeah, exactly.
You couldn't have waited like a couple more. Yeah, you couldn't have waited a couple more weeks until like my players are like clearly triumphant or whatever.
Well, and I
knew it's going to happen. It's inevitable.
I didn't, you know what it was? I wanted to get you out of the way so that you could watch the whole NLCS. That's what it was.
Oh, right. And so that didn't quite work out, but I appreciate the consideration.
No, and we'll try to get you back on again in the future on this season, because there's always times where somebody's sick or something happens. I always get strep throat at least once during the fall season, so it'll happen at some point. Maybe we can bring you back on again. Yeah, it was great.
I look forward to you getting strep throat.
Thank you. Yeah, I look forward to it too. It keeps the doctor practices in LA in business.
There you go.
But until then, until Sunday, thank you, Vaughn, so much again for coming on. Yep. It's always great. Love talking Survivor with you. Love the takes, all of them. Even if I didn't agree with them, I love them. And we will be back on Sunday, like I said, Vaughn, or me, intern, Bradley. If you want to be a patron, go on, jump over to patreon.com/survivorspecialist. We have 4 different tiers. You'll get an extra recap episode each week where it's Will and I. We also have the power rankings game, which we're doing right now, which I have not scored yet. So I apologize to everybody who's in the power rankings game. Unfortunately, I'm only going to have that for you on Sunday. We do Q&As. We do retrospectives. I think we're going to do the scariest Survivor moments or something this season or this month, because it's Halloween. Got to be spooky. So get ready for that. We're about to hit 6,000. I think we might have actually just hit 6,000 based on Caitlin Dillon saying that less than 100 subs from 6,000. I think we just hit 6,000 over there on YouTube. Will wants me. It's called the Wiggle Room. Will wants that announced. It's a great name. It's a great name.
Fantastic. Fantastic.
You can follow us over on Twitter, on Instagram, at Facebook, all at Survivor Specialists. And vote for MVP. Leave us comments. Leave us questions. Whatever you want to do. And, well, I'll be back on Sunday. Vaughn, you got any last words that you want to just throw out there?
Until next time, guys. Whether it's before or after Kelly wins this season, I look forward to seeing you guys next time.
I love it. That's a great way to end it.